Hello, this is Pete Rizzo, president of Checkbook IRA. And today we have a little bit different episode. We have a recording of a podcast done by one of our clients. This is not going to be live. It's been done and it's already been up on Facebook. And Dan Richmond Jones is one of our clients and has invested successfully in real estate with using his IRA. And he is going to talk with Steve Shepard, founder of Checkbook IRA, and talk about, you know, the experience he's had and give you some insights. Now, Daniel has been a very successful realtor. He's with the Ascend Real Estate team, top producing team in the San Francisco Bay Area. Dan Richmond Jones and Stephen Huang help sellers and buyers and investors with property transactions in the San Francisco Bay Area. They have videos of the Bay Area lifestyle and building personal wealth at liveworkplayhere.com. So take a look at that and see what they have there. You know, very active realtors in a very active real estate market. So hope you enjoy it and get some information from this segment.
Start chatting. So I'll just do a quick shout out for everyone listening. I'm Dan, and I'm very excited to be interviewing you, Steve Shepard, and I know that you're the founder of Checkbook IRA.
Yes.
And as a quick note, both my partner, Steven, and myself have set up Checkbook IRAs through your company about 2 years ago.
Okay.
So we were, and we both have used them for purposes outside of investing in the normal stock market.
Right. So
it's been interesting, fun, and I've been an advocate of pushing the information out to our sphere and all of our contacts and clients. So,
well, good. It's a fun business. You know, it's exciting to give people the freedom and the opportunity to do things. We don't sell many investments. It's just, I kind of use it as an example of, you know, regular investing with the IRAs, you know, with the big custodians, like this car, and it's got barely any clearance if there's any bumps in the road, you know. But with a checkbook IRA or a solo 401k, it's kind of like having a four-wheel drive with a big old motor in it. You can go off-road, you can go do things that you normally couldn't do, and you can put whatever you want in the back of it as an investment. So it's just a tool. That's really what it is.
Yeah. So can you, as we start get started, can you just do a quick overview of what a checkbook IRA account or, you know, sure, a retirement sure account is?
Well, what it really does is the Congress, when they created the IRAs, they said you can invest in anything but life insurance and collectibles, and you can invest with anyone on the face of the earth except for yourself, your spouse, your children, your parents, and any entity that you might control. Other than that, that's it. Now you go, wow, I've never heard of that before. Well, it's a little bit like going into a Mexican restaurant and ordering Peking duck. You go, well, they don't have it. Well, does that mean it's illegal? Well, no, but they just don't carry it. That's not on their menu. So custodians have menus to serve, you know, if they're going to serve as your custodian, they'll say, well, look, we'll do all that, but you have to invest in what we offer, which is most of the time stocks and bonds and, you know, whatever. And that's how they get paid. So they don't charge you for being a custodian, but then they get paid, you know, by selling you stuff. So really what the checkbook IRA does is we have a custodian that doesn't sell you anything, but they'll charge you a certain amount to be your custodian. It's not very much. And then your IRA makes one investment, and that is it buys an LLC that we create, and we have to do it a certain way, and there's a lot of legal bumbo jumbo, but when it's done, it's done, it's perfect, it's fine, it's totally legal and been around for years. But your IRA owns one investment, and that's the LLC. And so the custodian has to approve that and sign it and look it all over. But then once that's done, it's the LLC that does all the investing, and you are the manager. So you're, in a sense, pre-approved by the operating agreement that you sign that says, look, I'm not going to do anything that's, you know, not kosher. So you already have that. So most people are familiar with limited power of attorney. You have limited power of attorney. You don't have to call anybody. You have it right there with you. You know, it's limited. but you have it with you, so you don't have to check with anybody. Well, the operating agreement is the same way. You go to do something, as long as it's in the operating agreement, you don't have to call the custodian. You can write the check for the deal, and you can sign all of the contracts right there. So talk about fast, and you know, you still have to adhere to the rules, but now the menu is big. You're not limited to the menu at that particular restaurant as a custodian. You have a huge menu, and you can really get after it. So
yeah, you use the word custodian a couple of times, and for people that may not be as familiar with this, a custodian that most people would be familiar with, that would be like a Charles Schwab or something to that effect, right?
Right. Yeah, that's what they're really used to. Custodian is really, when we come back to IRAs, they're all trusts. Mm-hmm. Every one of them is a trust, and there is a trustee, and there is a beneficiary, and you would be the beneficiary. So in this trust, what's happening is the government is saying, we'll wait on our share of the money you owe us via taxes, but you have to follow the trust rules, the corpus of the trust. So that's the IRA law. And then someone has to hold the money for the foot race, you know, and that's the trustee. But nowadays they call them custodians, but technically they are trustees.
Yeah, because when I had set up my account, I moved the money from my Schwab account to, I think, Kingdom Trust was one of the companies that you, that would be the custodian, would be a Kingdom Trust.
That's true. And that's a non-taxable event. You're just moving from one custodian to another. And just the fact that one of them has a better menu than the other, you know, better for you.
Yeah. So are you able to purchase real estate right now in a regular custodian, or you really have to go through this system in order to do it?
Yes and no. A regular custodian like a Schwab or somebody like that, the answer is no. They just have very limited. And one of the problems you'll run into occasionally is you'll deal with people there and they'll go, you can't do this or do that. Well, it's because they just don't know. But the law is very clear. You can buy real estate all day long. So with a normal custodian, that's the big, big name, no. But the next step would be a self-directed custodian. And in that, you can buy real estate. However, the real estate is owned by the IRA. That means every single detail, whether you put new door locks on it, or you buy it, or you buy insurance for it or whatever, since it's owned by the IRA, the custodian has to do everything. They have to sign all the checks. They have to sign all the documents. They have to approve everything. And of course, that when it first came in, it was okay because big people with big money would buy into shopping centers and then they were done and someone managed it so they didn't have to deal with it. But if you want to go and buy houses, it'll nickel and dime you to death. And what they'll do is, since they don't make any money on the house, they make money on the transaction. So they got to charge fees. They got to pay their bills, but they got to charge fees. And the other problem is, man, if they're not around or you can't get a hold of them, you know, you could lose a deal. Where the checkbook IRA, it's the checkbook's in your pocket and you're the signer. So.
Yeah. No, yeah. I remember when I bought the house about a year ago, it was a very smooth process. Once everything is set up, there's almost no more interaction between us or, you know, the trust company.
That's exactly right. And when you think about it, when you do buy it, it's just like a normal LLC. You walk in and the property is in the name of the LLC. You write the check from the LLC. You sign all the documents. On the way home, you stop by Ace Hardware and you write a check or use your debit card, not a credit card, debit card from your LLC and pick up new door locks. You can do a little bit of work on the property as the manager. When you cross over to becoming a contractor, like let's say you really knew how to put on a roof, you can't put the roof on yourself. But if a shingle blew off, a manager could conceivably crawl up there and fix that roof. So you get to work a little bit, and there's no rule how many nails you can drive. You just have to use your head.
Okay, well, I'll jump ahead because that was going to be one of my questions is, what are some of the restrictions or requirements when you do any kind of purchases or purchase property with one of these checkbook IRA or checkbook retirement funds?
Well, I used to call it the 3x5 card rule. One side you wrote in life insurance and collectibles, and the other side you wrote your grandparents, your parents, your children, your spouse, and any entity, it could be a trust, corporation, LLC, that you guys might control. Either you or a combination of those people mentioned control it or own 50%. And that's it. So you look at the house, first of all, and you go, Is it a relative? Is a relative the realtor, you know, and all of that. And if it's not, then you can just buy it. Now, with an IRA, you if you borrow money to buy the property, however, whatever percentage you ended up borrowing, let's say you borrowed half of the money, and let's say you made $20,000, then half of the profits are subject to a tax. It's called a unrelated business income. It's basically a debt finance tax. That's not true with a 401k. You don't have that with a 401k.
Okay, so a 401k is a little bit more tax advantageous in this process.
It is, and yeah, there's some other advantages to the 401k. I mean, you can borrow money. There's things you can do with your your spouse and so forth. But the other thing you can't do is you cannot personally guarantee any loan for the property. So because you would be giving, you know, you'd be giving advantage to your IRA. Anyway, you can't do that. So it has to be what's called a non-recourse loan, meaning all they can do is grab the property. They can't come after the owner of the LLC, which is the IRA, and they can't come after you as the manager. You can't co-sign. Now, someone else that's not a prohibited party can guarantee the loan, get you a lower interest rate or whatever, but not a prohibited party.
Okay. Yeah, no, that all makes a lot of sense. So thank you for that. And so you mentioned, so what would happen if you do break some of those restrictions? So
sure.
You mentioned the grandparents, parents, anyone, no family.
Right. So what happens is, and here's another difference between it and the solo K. The IRA, let's say you had $1 million in it and you bought a house for $100,000 and you just said, heck, I'm going to rent it to my daughter. If you get caught the day that you broke the rule, your IRA is distributed. So if it was 2 or 3 years ago, the whole $1 million is distributed and all the taxes and stuff are due. And so if it was 3 years ago, man, now you got penalties and interest for 3 years. So it's a bad deal. That's why, you know, there's people in garages that are setting these up. When I first started 15 years ago, I literally have the name checkbookira.com, and I literally have the name Checkbook IRA trademarked. So we were the first in the, you know, really in the business to do this. And so it needs to be done right. And you need to have people, you know, kind of just overseeing it, because it's very, very severe, the penalty. The solo K, however, on the other hand, is if you had the same scenario, you had $1 million and you screwed up with $100,000, only the $100,000 is distributed, not the other. So if you thought about something that might be a little bit edgy, you'd want to use a 401k, because that's the only thing that would be at risk.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Yeah, no, I got... when I first reached out to you a couple of years ago, I got your information from another realtor who I respected in San Francisco. And yeah, I was impressed that your history in the business. So you were one of the first to get into the checkbook IRA space.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we really were. And I had bought and remodeled 50 houses. Jordan, who runs Checkbook IRA now, my son, he worked with me, and we would buy these houses and fix them up and flip them. And anyway, I was finally introduced to the checkbook IRA concept. There just wasn't anybody out there doing it. And we just did a better job of it. And after 15 years, we've never had a single complaint, Better Business Bureau, and we are still all 5 stars on Google. So we do a good job. You know, I mean, we're not the cheapest, but you get what you pay for. You know, if you want to risk $1 million, just go for it, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. When you're talking about your retirement funds, you want to make sure it's all protected correctly.
Sure. And it's, I don't want to make it sound hard. It's not really hard. It really isn't. You know that. I mean, yeah. And the record keeping, sometimes we find people say, well, do you keep track of all that? And I go, no, the bottom line is, I'll give you a quick example. If your IRA was worth $100,000, and then over your period of your life, it became worth $500,000, then it was worth only $50,000, and then it was worth $1 million, and then it was finally worth $100,000 when you retired. That's what you pay the tax on. There's no up and down. There's no depreciation. There's no, it's just whatever's in there is taxable when you take it out. So it doesn't matter if it goes up and down. It's what it matters is the day you take it out.
Yeah.
So that makes it easier.
No, since we set it up, I think I get maybe one email from Alicia a year.
Yeah.
as a follow-up to a check-in, then I get an email from Kingdom Trust to just go through my what I've purchased and everything and just give
current. One thing I will say about real estate, if a lot of our clients, we set up New Mexico LLCs because they're so private, you know, there's nothing on record and all of that, and that's great. Yeah. However, if you do decide to borrow money on a property, you can use a New Mexico LLC, but the state, usually the bank, will make you register the LLC in the state that you're, that the property's in. So, and that's not a big deal. I mean, you just go and you form another LLC and the IRA is registered as a foreign entity, a foreign meaning from another state.
Yeah, I had to do that. When I bought my property in Pennsylvania, I had to register my New Mexico LLC over there.
Right.
It was just a little bit of paperwork, a couple of weeks, I think. It wasn't a very long process. I was in the middle of a transaction, so I was a little bit worried that the bureaucracy would, but it ended up being fine with no issues.
Sure, and it depends on the state, of course. You know, you had asked me earlier about some of the big successes. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do, and I want to talk a little bit about the types of clients. Mm-hmm. We really find two types of clients. One is a very capable person who's, you know, wants to do the investing and wants to expand their investments and into an area that they have knowledge of, you know, maybe invest with some of their partners, business partners. You know, I know one builder that when he retired, he knew all these builders and he would go in and make bridge loans, and man, he was so secure. And he knew about it, and he made really good returns. So one is that, you know, the person really understands it. Kind of the other are the people that are a bit afraid of the market. They're going, man, the market's going to tank. I don't trust the Federal Reserve. You know, they get, you know, sick of the stock market. You know, congressmen texting their brokers as they leave a government meeting about COVID, you know, texting to sell, you know, I mean, hey, come on. So you have some people that are doing that. And of course, some people are both, you know, they're skeptical of the market and they're also want to handle that. But, you know, I had a guy one time call up and he knew of a property and he could do an option to buy on it. And very quickly, and he had the option already sold. I mean, he knew he could sell it. Well, very quickly, we converted we only took $500 and converted $500 from his IRA into a Roth. And then he went and put an option down with $500. And about a week later, he sold that option, made $25,000 and had $25,000 in his Roth IRA. So, you know, it's really, you know, part of what you want to be able to do is you have to be careful. I mean, we've seen people lose their shirt because they go in there and they have this money to invest and they don't know what they're doing. So get a mentor, you know, like you have your friend, you guys talk things over, you know, get a mentor if you're going to do this. And one of the ways you might start out is when you get your hands on that money is to partner with someone in a joint venture that really knows what they're doing. You know, find, you know, my suggestion would go find the best, most successful real estate guy around that you really know he's got a good reputation, and go to him, say, can I buy you a cup of coffee? And just say, look, I'm starting out, I've got $100,000 or $200,000 or $50,000 or whatever. And, you know, would you help me? And I'm telling you, people, they like to help other people. And then what you're doing is you're furnishing the money, and maybe it might be a deal where you found a good deal and you go to somebody with money and you just put a little of yours in, they put most of theirs in, and you get a piece of it, you know? So walk before you run. You're messing with your retirement.
No, so. I definitely agree with that. The property I picked up in Pennsylvania was like $70,000. So I was like, okay, this is a small, if I mess this up, it's not going to be the end of the world. I can resell it and I might lose a little bit of money.
Sure.
So I was definitely, as you mentioned, trying to walk before I ran. But now, you know, now that I've done it once, I want to, you know, bring it up to the next step, get a loan on a property, a non-recourse loan, and go to the next level and do more flips and stuff like that.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's how I definitely agree with you that, you know, it's a whole different way of thinking and how you run an investment. So you need to be more careful with that. One thing that we had talked about before this interview is that people invest what they know in. Like, I'm a realtor, I want to invest in real estate, but you talked about clients who are loggers or something that invest in logging options. Like, can you talk about some different interesting investments that you've heard
sure,
about?
Sure, sure. One of the cool ones is I had a guy call me in a panic. He said, man, I got to get this set up. He was a fisherman up in Alaska, and he had gotten, it's like James Bond deal. So some government guy had gotten drunk in the bar and spilled the beans that they were about to raise the fisherman license rates by commercial, like by $50,000 or something. And so this guy runs out, he was a fisherman, he runs out, he gets his IRA all set up, runs over and buys one of these things. They jumped up by $50,000, he resold it and made $50,000. So he was a fisher guy, you know, and he knew it, and he heard it in a bar, you know. Now, hey, that's not the normal, but you ask about unusual things. Yeah. I have a rodeo guy that, if anybody's familiar with rodeo, they have competing events with cattle, you know, and steers that run down the arena with the horns, and the guy ropes them around the horns and all that, which actually I do in the wintertime. So he went, and the rodeo people, they lease those cattle because, see, they don't want to buy them because they keep growing and they get too big. So this guy went and bought a bunch of steers and leased them to the rodeo people. And I mean, he knew where they were, he knew what they were, and he just understood it. People will buy logging contracts whenever the Forest Service would sell, and they really understood logging. Well, maybe they go around and go, man, this is a smoking deal. Maybe it's a $200,000 sale, but you know, not enough people are there, and they buy it for 200 and sell it to 300, or maybe they sell part of the timber off to a big guy and keep some of it, or, you know, whatever. So another one that people do a lot is car dealerships. If they're selling used cars, buy here, pay here. So you're not dealing with yourself. So I sell you a car. You like this? Okay, sign, goodbye. Oh, by the way, if you want to finance it, I know a guy that will do that. And then you reach in your pocket and pull another card out and give it to him and finance them. So you're not dealing with yourself. I'm loaning you the money, then you giving the money back to me in a different company is okay. So, you know, there's a deal that the guy finances only the really good ones, you know, so you just pick out what you know.
Interesting. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And as long as it's not on that 3x5 card of being a family. Yeah,
exactly.
Or you said, I think it was life insurance or something else.
Life insurance contracts, because it's for, Congress said, this is for your retirement, not for your family after you die. So you couldn't take your retirement and go buy a $5 million life insurance on yourself, because it wouldn't do you any good retiring, but it really helped your kids. So they said, nah, we're not going to let you do that. And the other is you can't go buy, you know, a painting of Elvis or something. No collectibles that you can do, which means with metals, there are certain metals that don't fall into that, like American Eagles, and some of those things are not collectibles. But when you get into something that is worth more than what the metal's price is because it was in 1921 when this coin was made, then you can't do that. Now, you can in a 401k, but not an IRA.
So as a personal desire, I want to be buying properties overseas. And I think when we spoke earlier, you can do that, but you have to be careful of, you know, buying in foreign countries.
Yeah, there's certainly nothing wrong with being able to buy in another country at all. Most of the time, they'll make you form like a corporation in that country. You know, I've seen people do real well, and I've seen them get their head handed to them. So you got to be real careful, just like you would if it was. It doesn't matter, you know, if the money's IRA money or inherited money or your savings account. You know, if a guy's going to hose you, you know, you're going to get hosed. So, you know, there's no special protection on your retirement, but you can use it. And it's a lot easier with the LLC because, again, it's the LLC doing the investing. So is it life insurance or collectibles? No. Are you dealing with prohibited parties? No. You can't buy a place on the beach and go live in it or vacation in it until you take it out and pay your partner, the government. Now, I have another company called IRA Valuations. And when you do pay taxes on your IRA, or when you get old enough and you have to have required minimum distributions, see, now you're paying your partner, and since it's not cash, it's real estate or promissory notes or whatever, they require a valuation.
Okay.
And so you come in and you look at it and you value it and you go, okay, it's worth this much. And then they go, all right, you're in the 30% tax bracket. I want my 30%. So when you have required minimum distributions, you have to have that. when you pull money out as a distribution, which is some interesting things are happening with COVID right now, or whenever you convert to a Roth, see, it's no taxes forever, so you got to pay your taxes going in. So you have to have fair market valuation. And so we have a company, IRAvaluations.com, that does that. And one of the things that we've discovered is if we will distribute your LLC with the assets in it, IRS will allow us to deduct like a 35% because of the restrictions in the LLC. You know, you can't deal with your parents and all of that. So the same asset in two different LLCs, if one's got restrictions, the guy with the restrictions has got to come down in price to get rid of it. So that's about a 35% discount. So that works out pretty good.
So that's great. You hit it on both ends. So when I'm ready to disperse something, I come back to you for your other company.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
If I wanted to buy a vacation property using this, that I then disperse later on. So I can't use it now, but I can use it or.
Yeah, I have I can't give you his name, but he is a production manager for one of the biggest movie directors in the world. I just finished one for him. It's $700,000, and he bought it years ago on a lake, and Airbnb'd it out, see, yeah, through his 401k. So as it got to the point, he goes, hey, this year, you know, I don't have any big movies scheduled, so let's do it. So we did the distribution. And, 35% discount on $700,000, that saved him a lot of money.
And this is post his retirement age, post being able to get it as a retirement in the tax.
Yeah, bracket. Well, and I think he's 60, but you know, something about the COVID this year is if you're under 59 and a half, there's no early withdrawal up to $100,000. So for example, let's say you're young enough. So let's say you had $150,000 and you wanted to pull it out. This year, first thing we would do is give you the valuation, which is a 35% discount. So now you're talking about only paying tax on 97, see, even though you're going to get 150. So the IRS says, no, it's only worth 97 on the real market. So, all right. So now what do you do? Well, it's under 100. You can pay your taxes over that over 3 years. So year number one, you're going to pay tax on 33,000. Year number two, 33. Year number three, 33. And because of the COVID, if you're under 59 and a half, there's no early withdrawal, that 10% penalty. There's no early withdrawal for the first 100,000 this year if you're under 59 and a half. So in summary, a guy like you could pull out 150, pay on 33 for 3 years and also not have any 10% early withdrawal. So well, that's one of the reasons we're so busy.
Okay. That was going to be my last question as I ended this interview, was talking about how the business has changed based around COVID. So if you have anything else you want to talk about around the pandemic and how that's affecting your business.
Sure. We have had people, basically two things. One is we've had people go, man, this is it for me. I wanted my money out. They're not letting people do anything. And the blue and the red states and all of that, there are people that are wigging out. On the other hand, there are people that are going, you know what, this is garbage. And we're going to roar back. And when we do, I'm going to be ready and I'm going to make some deals. So that's one of the things that's really going along. But they've tried with the COVID to give people a break. You can borrow now up to 100% of your 401k up to $100,000. And again, on these distributions, you don't have to pay early withdrawal up to 100. So there's some things that they're trying to do, and some people are taking advantage of it. So, but it sounds like you've got it figured. It's not very hard. One thing that you'll find out about Checkbook IRA, your people, is they, you know, that we really, I'm not involved too much anymore, but I'm awful proud of it and my son, but man, there's a lot of information there that you know, if you need, but it's not rocket science. It really isn't, you know, it's not that difficult.
Well, thank you so much, Steve, for joining me and talking about this.
You're welcome.
It's been a pleasure. And yeah, it had, you know, setting it up was a very easy process, and purchasing the property that I currently have has also been a very easy process, thanks to you and your company. So I definitely recommend you guys. And I know I'm going to do a big disclosure. Like, I'm not a licensed CPA. I don't know if you are, but I want to make sure, like, you know, whoever is listening to this, you know, talk and make sure you get the, you know, your correct advisement. But I know, right, I worked with you, and it's been a pleasure getting that my IRA set up.
Well, thank you very much, and you know, it's wonderful to have control. I mean, that's really what it is. It's wonderful. If you're going to, you know, in America, if you're going to succeed, you got to have the ability to fail. And, you know, that's it. So, you know, the bottom line is, you know, just jump in there and make sure you get good advice. It's not the place to cut corners. I have lost money. I'm 68 years old. And I've lost a fortune getting to 68. Now that I'm smart enough, you know, you need to go listen to other people. You know, the fools make their own mistakes. You know, smart guys learn from other people. So you might as well learn from other people.
Great. Well, thank you so much. So just as a quick shout out, thank you, Steve Shepard from Checkbook IRA and a couple other companies that you have.
Yeah, IRA valuations. And if you ever need a valuation, sometimes you will. So that's what we're there for.
Okay, great. And I will, I'll finish this recording, and then I'll also throw your contact information down as a comment. And if anyone wants to get connected, I'm happy to send an intro connecting you to anyone that wants to set up their own Checkbook IRA account.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, listen, thank you very much. You've been very kind.
Great. Thanks, Steve.
All right. See ya.
Bye.